Well, it doesn't look like I ran all of you off from last week, so that's a good sign. I feel much better about that. I am, of all the series I ever do, this is always the one that the enemy fights me the hardest on. And I realize when I begin this series, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, I have to be very careful because there's so many different mindsets and so many different people have been taught different things. And so I get really kind of edgy because there's so many sermons I could preach from this that I want to make sure that I cover all the questions that would come up and as we deal with them. Last week we began the process and we started to kind of jump into what it was like to understand the Holy Spirit working in our lives, dealing with from the Old Testament. We did not start from the book of Acts, or we did not start from just one or two scriptures, but we went through the Old Testament, starting in Genesis and talking about how the Holy Spirit's work throughout history, how He worked in the Old Testament, He came upon men, and how there was prophecies eventually by Ezekiel and Isaiah and Joel and others that came along and said, listen, there's something coming in this spiritual realm that you can't grasp, that is hard to understand. And they couldn't even at their time prophetically get this, because understand, they did not know and did not understand what it was like for the Spirit of God to come in them. They only understood what it was like for Him to move like a wind or move like water or to move in this way. And sometimes that's the way we still like Him. We still like Him to be somebody who moves on us, and then all of a sudden we can go back and do our own thing. But the goal of the Holy Spirit is to come inside so that even after emotions and even after everything else is gone, you have somebody who is going to go with you. In fact, that's what we're going to deal with today. We're going to deal with not just the Old Testament, but now we're dealing with the actual baptism of the Holy Ghost. This new outpouring that Jesus began to talk about, that John began to understand and could see, but he couldn't quite get his mind around. We just read a few scriptures about John. How here's John who couldn't even really get his mind. Are you the Messiah? This is not happening the way I thought it would happen. Or do we need to find somebody else? But I want you to see something here as you turn in your Bibles, and we're going to go to several places. Go with me in your Bibles to Matthew. In fact, we'll just go through the scriptures as you have them listed. Is that good? Just start them up and we're going to go. We're going to work our way through the scriptures. So from the prophet Joel, we begin to understand, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon your servants and upon your handmaiden, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Now the prophet still is trying to understand what's happening, and the best he can grasp is this. He feels like, look, instead of it just being Ezekiel or just being Isaiah, everybody's going to get poured on. Everybody's going to feel the presence of God move on them. That's the best that they could grasp. That's the best that they could understand, was that instead of her just being one prophet, there were going to be a bunch of prophets. And there were going to be a bunch of people filled with the presence of God. And it was going to be an awesome time of God moving in His power, like David of old, moving in front of Him and winning battles. And this was going to be an awesome, awesome time. Now talking on our next scripture, go there with me. We find that John the Baptist, the same one we talked about a while ago that sent his disciples and said, do we need to go find somebody else? He's looking for something. Through all these prophecies, now we finally get to the New Testament. And let's walk through this New Testament and let's look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that come after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When somebody looks at you and says, well, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not in the New Testament. Well, either they're illiterate and can't read, or they've got some emotional problems, because the whole promise that John has during his preaching is that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at the person beside you and say, John foresaw it. He said, look, I baptize you in water. I immerse you in water. I take you and you're drenched in water. But there's somebody coming after me that I am not worthy to even untie his shoes or to wear his shoes. When he gets here, he's going to baptize you, not just under repentance, not just when you say, I'm sorry, but he is going to baptize you in the power of the Holy Ghost. He is going to baptize you with power and with fire. It is going to be something that I've never experienced, because understand, John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. John, even as mighty as John is, Jesus would later say of John, he said, John, there was nobody born of woman greater than John. That John was up until that time the greatest person that had ever been born. No man more mightier in the Holy Spirit than John. The Spirit of God rested on him more mighty than David, Ezekiel, Joel, Isaiah, anybody. But here's what Jesus said afterward. He said, but the least of you in the kingdom has more than John. When you are just getting started in the kingdom, you've got more than John, who was the mightiest of the Old Testament. Mightier than Samson, mightier than David, mightier than any of those. The least, the littlest of you in the kingdom of God is mightier than him. Why? How can you say that? Because John foresaw a moment to where I'm going to step out of the Old Testament and I'm going to actually live this thing out. But here's what happens. Jesus comes that day to be baptized and John says, what are you doing? I need you to baptize. I want you to give me the good stuff. And Jesus said, it's not time. I can't do that. We all have to fulfill everything in its own time. And John went to the grave beheaded because he still couldn't reach the moment that Jesus was supposed to outpour. He knew it was Jesus. Jesus knew it was supposed to happen. But it was all in time. And John was the last one to get all the way up to the threshold and not be able to walk over into it. Man, that had to have been discouraging. To have met Jesus face to face and to said, go ahead. And Jesus says, you baptize me. Huh? You don't get it. I need you to baptize me. I need the Holy Ghost and I need fire. We'll get to that, John. Jesus, the next scripture in John 7. Is it okay if I stay just around John today? I don't want to jump around a whole bunch. I want to stay just in specific areas. I'll go from John to the book of Acts and we'll stay there. Later we'll deal with more questions and we'll deal with more stuff, but I just want to stay real focused this day. John 7 and 37, in the last day, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles is what he's talking about, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet what? See, Jesus couldn't give John what he was wanting because it was going to require Jesus' death, his resurrection. It was going to require him ascending to the Father. Everything had to be done in order. As we studied last week, Passover always had to precede what? Pentecost. You couldn't have Pentecost until Passover had been fulfilled. Jesus had to fulfill the Passover before the miracle of the Pentecost could be given. Before the miracle of the Spirit coming. Even though everybody saw it, they couldn't figure out how it worked. In fact, old historians figured it out this way. When Ezekiel and Isaiah were talking about these people suffering, and they were talking about this person becoming a king, they thought it was two people. The prophets finally reasoned within themselves, there must be two men. There's this one man who is beaten on, ridiculed, killed. Man, he has it bad. And then there's this other man who shows up and he's the king. What they didn't understand was he was the same man. The same one that would be beaten, bruised. His stripes for our healing is the same one that would be resurrected 3 days later and rise in power and glory and honor. The same man. And Jesus stands there that day at this great feast and says, "Oh, I wish right now I could give you. But there's coming a day that where water is going to flow out of you. There's going to be living water that's going to flow out of you. It's going to be powerful." Go with me in your Bibles to the next scripture. And let's start to walk through now what Jesus would say about the Holy Spirit. Here is the one thing that I want us to understand. This coming into us was so new to them. It's amazing that we will allow and what we'll put inside us. I hear so many people talk about, "I don't know if I want that, and I don't know if I want." And I think to myself, do you realize what all the stuff you do put into you? And you're complaining about what God wants to put into you. One guy did a survey, American Medical Association, and here's what he kind of come up with. He said, in your life, you'll eat 6,000 loaves of bread. You'll eat 300 chickens, 4 cows, 70 geese or duck or pigeon or whatever you decide you like in that range, 8 hogs, 4 sheep, 2,000 small fish, 9,000 pounds of potatoes, 2,000 large fish, 1,400 pounds of fruit, 12,000 pounds of vegetables, for some of us, 12,000 cups of coffee, 6,000 quarts of milk, 5,000 eggs, 2,000 pounds of cheese, and 10,000 quarts of water. That'll be your normal diet for the rest of your life. Give or take some of the other stuff that you like, Spam and some of the stuff we're not even going to talk about. But in your life, you're going to put a lot of stuff in you. And Jesus, his whole mission was to die so that he could get something in you that was more powerful than anything in this world. That was his whole purpose. He came to die. Why? Because he had to fulfill Passover. He had to give us the ability to inherit and to receive something that was from the Father that we needed to be able to be all that we were called to be. Let me show it to you just in our scriptures. Let me kind of give it to you this way. John 14 through 16 shares with us a great number of things as Jesus comes to the close. This is the last time he speaks to his disciples. And he says, I want to share with you what's important to me. This is the last time that Jesus would speak, pray over them, the last words we have. And notice Jesus' mindset. Go with me in your Bible to John 14 and 16. There are 9 attributes that Jesus wanted you to understand that was coming into your life. 9 things that when the Spirit arrives, his job, and why I've got to go, I've got to leave, I've got to get out of here, because if I don't go, the Spirit can't come. And if the Spirit can't come, then you're going to miss out on the most important things in life. And here's how he described it. In John 14 and 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The word paraclete is the one we use, but it is simply a comforter. Somebody there to walk with us, to be with us. The first thing the Spirit is going to be in your life, when he comes and you receive him in his fullness and power, here's the one thing that you will know. I will never, ever be alone again. I will always have somebody to walk with me, to be with me, to care for me. One of the things that I realized in my life as growing up that I needed, because when I started to want to receive this power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the whole key was simply this, is that I was fixing to leave home. I was raised in a house where my mom was a prayer warrior. I was raised in a home where hearing people praying in the Holy Spirit and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, my dad preaching and healing and laying hands, and I grew up in that. And all my life, I had lived under the covering of people that could pray and people that could reach God and people that could touch God for me. And when I was 18 years old and I was fixing to move to Birmingham, Alabama, everything in me started to just wrench. And God began to deal with me because remember now, I was saved, but I didn't have the baptism. And so all that God began to do, because once I was saved, I had the Holy Spirit. He could talk to me, speak to me, guide me, but I didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't have the full unction of Him. And so therefore, I was struggling a lot of my life. And God began to impress Tim, you do not need to leave town unless you have His fullness. You do not need to tackle this unless you have His fullness. That makes perfect sense when you start to realize that Jesus tells His own disciples later, He said, listen, you tarry in Jerusalem. You don't start the preaching ministry. You don't start going out and trying to win the world. Why? Because you stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And when you're endued with power, then you can go and win the world. But until that moment, you don't start your ministry. And in my life, I knew this was a time that I need a comforter. And I'll be honest with you, I would not have made it those 6 to 10 months without Him. My life was so torn apart. My life was going in so many pieces. God was going after me, tearing me limb from limb, but at the same time, He had His arm around me. And I know that may sound strange to some, but it was the way it was. I was out there, and God says, is this what you want? Then here's the way it's going to be. And I was going to college. I was doing all the things that I thought I was supposed to do. I was working night crews. I was making money. I lived in a house. And I had my own. I'd do my own thing and live my own life. And at the same time, I could sit at work at night and cry as the Holy Spirit was saying, Tim, is this what you want? I had a comforter who walked with me. And for some of you in this room, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not about simply having some crazy language or having some weird way of talking or praying. What it is, more than anything else, it'll be the first time in your life to where literally you are not alone. And when you're standing in your house in the mornings, you don't feel alone. And when you go to work, you don't feel alone. And when you get in your car and it feels like the whole world is crashing down on you, you never feel alone, because there's always somebody there with you. You can feel Him. You can hear Him. He is your paraclete. He is your comforter. He is the one that walks beside you every step of the way. And in my life, that was the first thing I needed to understand, is that I had to have somebody who could do that. Number two is simply this. Go with me to John 14 and verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you will know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be. Here's the new part of this, is that the second thing we find out is that He's not just going to pour on me. He's not just going to come in the room and leave the room. It's not going to be like David, and it's not going to be like Samson, and it's not going to be like any of the old prophets. This is a new dynamic. Jesus said, what I've got to do is I've got to get away, because not only is He going to be with you, but for the first time, He's going to live in you. He's going to reside inside of you. As the Scripture said, out of you will flow rivers of water. It's one thing to have somebody walk into a room and to just put their arm around you, but it's another thing totally when you know from the inside you're gaining strength. Second thing that He wanted you to know, And he wanted his disciples to know, is that, listen, this isn't some outpouring where you're going to feel him a moment, then you're going to feel nothing. This isn't a moment where it's just going to be something poured on you and then it dries up and then you come back and again. This is going to be somebody who is going to live just as I have lived with you for 3 years and we've stayed together. I am fixing to give you somebody who doesn't leave, who doesn't forsake you, who doesn't walk away from you. He is with you. He has my power, my ability. He has everything. He has all the authority. And he's going to be with you. Number three, let's move. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, go with me to John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, notice the third, he will become my teacher. My teacher. I don't have to live my life trying to figure it out. Not only do I have somebody with me, not only do I have somebody comforting me, but I've got somebody as I walk along in life teaching me how to walk and how to talk and how to live. Remember what I said a while ago, that when you're poor, what does he give you? He gives you scriptures. He gives you the word. Well, you say, somebody will say, bro, Lord, I don't understand. I try to read the Bible and I don't understand. It's not your responsibility to understand it. It's not your purpose. Here's the problem. If you're just saved in here and you decide I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to learn the Bible and I'm going to understand the Bible, can I tell you something? It's still going to be a very difficult thing because you're still doing it in your own strength. You're trying to understand the these and the thous and the therefores, and you're trying to go through and your mind is trying to comprehend what God is saying. But here's the way it happens once you have the baptism. Here's how it happens. I can read scripture and all of a sudden they explode off of a page. Why? Because it isn't me understanding the scriptures. It is the Holy Ghost inside of me that says, Tim, I am here living in you. And when you pour scriptures inside of yourself, now I'm in you teaching you what they mean and how to understand them and how to use them, so that when I hear scriptures, give and it shall be given unto you. It isn't that I'm trying to convince my brain. I'm just pouring it in. And when I get it into my spirit grabs a hold of it and it starts to teach me. It says, Tim, do you understand what that says? Tim, you can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. You can't outgo beyond God. Whatever you do, he's going to raise the Annie, if you give this, he's going to give it 60, 100 fold back to you. This is the God that I serve. I have the Spirit of God living inside, teaching me every single day. Oh. That's his purpose in my life, to teach me. Number four, John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send him out, will teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance. Here's the next thing that he does in my life. He reminds me of things. He reminds me of things. In my life, I have a hard time with his flesh. Because whatever happens to me all of a sudden nudges my flesh and it causes my flesh to say, oh, I don't like that. And I don't think we need to do that. And I don't think we need to. But here's what the Spirit does. The Spirit is a reminder of the things which God has promised and said in my life. I can't tell you how many times there are things I didn't do, not because I couldn't. Not because I couldn't have got away with it. Not because probably somebody would have found out. But the reason I didn't do it is because of this. It is because when I started to, he reminded me of what I would be losing. Anybody ever have those moments? I mean, you're just about to do something and you think, it won't matter. And all of a sudden inside of you, not on the outside, nobody called you on the phone, but inside of you, the Spirit of God says, you're going to lose some stuff. You know what it says. You're going to sacrifice some stuff if you go that route. And in my life, a lot of my doing has not been because I'm smart. It's because I have the Holy Ghost. And because I have the Holy Ghost, He's teaching me and also reminding me every day of my life what is important, what I've got to gain and what I've got to lose. Number five, go with me to John 16 now, verses 7 and 8. This is Jesus' words, the last words the disciples will hear from Him. Do you think the Holy Ghost was important? If it was the last thing you were going to tell me before you walked out the door and died and never be seen again, wouldn't you want to say something? Brother Lyle, I just want you to know this one thing. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is looking at His disciples and saying, I just want you to know one thing. I want you to know something that's very important. You may not understand it all right now, but there's something I want you to get. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Here's the fifth thing. He reproves the world. You think people don't like you, but it's not you. Don't take it personal. I don't have any enemies. I don't have anybody in any flesh that I dislike, don't care for, would not help them change their tire. I don't have any enemies in this world. But understand that there are a lot of people that I will rub wrong. Not because I stole anything from them. Not because I broke in their house and drunk their Kool-Aid. It's because when they're around me, the Holy Spirit that lives in me and is guiding me and teaching me and the things He's shown me, and I look at them and say, that's not right. Well, who are you to tell me it's right? Well, it's not me, but it says right here in Scripture you can't do that. So that's why it's so important for the world to remove prayer out of school, the Bible out of school, anything that refers to God out of anything that there is. Why? Because part of His goal and His job in our lives is to reprove people of sin. It's not my goal. It's not my goal to walk into a room and say, you don't quit that, you're going to die and go to hell. You don't quit that. No, I can walk in and love people and say, guys, I love you. I hope you get it. I hope everything. Well, then what's the problem? It's His job to reprove. I don't stand up every Sunday or any Sunday and say, look, if you don't quit doing this, you're going to die and go to hell. And if you don't quit doing this, you're going to die and go to hell. And if you don't quit doing this, your life ain't going to be. But to have people meet me at the back door and say, Pastor, I haven't done this for like 3 months now. I'm like, you go, boy. That is awesome. Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. Came from the fact that when you walked in, the Holy Spirit began to reprove you of your attitude, actions. No, don't get me wrong. We liked Him comforting us and being our friend. But sometimes His reproving, we don't like so much, do we? We don't like Him telling us, look, you got to stop that. You need to quit that. Look, no more of that. We don't like that feeling. But that is part of His job. Number six, John 16, verses 12 and 13. His job is also, and I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Number six, He will lead us. He leads us. I have people all the time that want to try to find a way of saying something and trying to, well, we just decided to do this. We just decided to do that. I've got a simple answer for it. I know we just had a situation in our lives of a school thing and just something that the Spirit of God said, it's time. And somebody said, well, why did you do this? So, and I got an easy answer. It's not hard. God told me to. And that, to some people, it's just like, no, really, tell me why. No, really, I mean, I'm telling you the truth. God told me it's time to do something. And I did something. I don't know any other way to tell you. I didn't wake up in the morning and say, let me see if I can sit at the kitchen table and figure out a strategy for my life. I didn't do that. I didn't go on the internet and think, well, here's a cool way to live life. I just got up this morning, and part of his job is to lead me, to guide me, to tell me, Tim, don't eat there today. Tim, call so-and-so. Tim, you need to pray for so-and-so. Tim, you need to do this and you need to do that. It's the easiest answer in the world if you're full of the Holy Ghost. You can look at people when they say, why did you do that? Because God told me to. Well, I don't believe God can tell. Well, that's your problem. I can't help your problem. You asked me a question. I'm just trying to tell you why I did what I did. Why'd you wear this morning instead of a suit or a tie? Because when I got up this morning, I looked at my closet and God said, Tim, I like this. And I put it on. Everything from what I wear to how I comb my hair to everything I do, it's by the Spirit. If I change my hairstyle and I get an afro and God says, Tim, I don't really like it. We'll have to get the straightener and fix it. Why? Because if God doesn't like it, He's leading and guiding my life and He's in control. It's not me saying, now God, I'm going to do this. Would you please bless me? God, I'm going to sleep with this person. Would you please bless it? God, I'm going to cheat here. Would you please bless it? It ain't about that. It's about me getting up and in the morning God say, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go, and me saying yes, Lord, to every direction that He gives. See, we worry about the tongues and we worry about praying in the Spirit, and we think that's what it's like. You very rarely in here are going to hear me pray in the Spirit. You're very rarely going to be around me at those moments. I do that in my closet time. I do that in my own time. But I'll tell you what you will see in my life. You'll see Him teaching me, guiding me, directing me, comforting me. You'll say, how in the world does Pastor Lott keep going and doing all that he does? I'll tell you, it's by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. Number 7, He becomes our transmitter. Go with me in your Bibles to John 16 and 13. He becomes our transmitter. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. It's not like I've got this Spirit of God in me and He's just doing His own thing. The Holy Ghost is simply a transmitter for what is going on in the throne room of God. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. So when I decide I need to do something, that's not coming just from inside. That's not just coming from the Holy Ghost. That's coming from the throne. That's coming straight from God who sees all, knows all, and controls all. He says, listen, I am guiding and directing you straight. He is a transmitter of what God is trying to say. Now, if I'm in the woods and I've got this little transmitter, I've got this walkie-talkie radio, and somebody on the other end who can see me from up top, maybe he's in a helicopter, and he's sitting up there and he says, Tim, I need you to go this way. It's not for me to say, what are you talking about? I mean, I can see good. No. The transmitter is only telling me what he can see. And if he says, listen, you need to go left, I need to go left. Otherwise, you have those awkward moments in your life where you have to come back and you have to pray this prayer. Lord, I know I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I knew it. I knew it when I did it. I knew it wasn't right, but I just thought maybe I... You didn't listen to the transmitter. The transmitter is only telling you what's happening. When God says, be good to your mom, quit talking to her that way. That's the transmitter. It's God seeing something in your life that you've got to deal with. If you don't, you're going to lose a lot. Number 8. Go with me in your Bibles to John 16 and 14. For He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The next part is that the Holy Spirit will give prophetic understanding. Now, if I'm transmitting stuff that's just going on in my regular life, that's one thing, right? But how about if you're transmitting from God? How about if God can see 10 years into your future? How about if God can see 20 years into your future? Now what kind of you don't have just a helicopter over the top of you. You've got an all-seeing God over the top of you. And now when He transmits, you'll start saying things that are weird. Stuff like, you know what, guys, we're going to build a building. Pastor, I don't know if we can do that. No, I already see it. I've already dreamed it. We just got to do it. We start seeing things. I see you graduating from college. I see you. You start having dreams and visions. You start prophetically speaking things that seems weird. That's why when you hear in the New Testament, the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. Why? Because the transmitter does two things. It speaks to my now, but it also speaks to my future. That's why in my mind right now, I don't know when and I don't know where, as we continue to grow all seasons and all seasons becomes the healthiest church it can be and we win as many souls and we do our job. I just feel like somewhere in my life, there's a part where I'm going to do ministry to pastors and there's going to be ministry to where I'm going to have retreat centers and different things like that. I don't know when or how or where. I'm just speaking prophetic. I'm speaking that God says, Tim, if you'll follow me, if you'll follow my directions, I'm going to bring you into things you can't even imagine. You don't even know how you're going to get there. You don't even know the way. You don't know what door I'm going to open. Somebody, when I get ready, might just call you and say, listen, pastor, come sign these papers up at the lawyer. And I'm going to say, what papers? I ain't done anything wrong. No. I've got 50 acres and a house and a lake, and I'm just signing it over to you. I don't know why, but God told me you needed it, and I don't know what you're planning to do. See, I don't know what God's going to do. Here's the beautiful thing about God. I'm just listening to the transmitter. I'm just following His steps. I'm walking along. And when somebody says, what are you doing? I'm just listening and I'm just following. He guides and directs me every day of my life. Let me tell you, a miserable Christian life is to try to figure out life on your own. Figure out how you're going to live right. Figure out how you're going to talk right. Figure out how you're going to act right. That's why I said before we started this, if I could give you anything in here, what I wanted to give you more than anything in the world is I'd give you the Holy Ghost. I would give Him to you because with Him, it opens the door to everything in your life. He's better than a $40 million sweepstakes. I can show you people that have won the $40 million and today their life's in ruin. But I've never shown you anybody who ever had the power of the Holy Ghost and lived it out and followed Him that ever had a life that ended in ruin. I don't care if they even took you to a point where they were going to kill you. You still died happy. Because what you had was greater than anything the world could ever give. Number 9 is simply this. Go back with me. For He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit ultimately through you, through your life and through your actions and through your walk and how you talk, here's what the ultimate goal is to bring Jesus glory. Can I tell you something? If I can raise dead people, if I can pray for sick people and they're healed, if I can emotionally get stirred up and dance across this stage or do whatever, if I give everything I got to poor people, but if my life in some way does not glorify God, then I have failed. So when the Holy Ghost is working on you and pulling on you and trying to change you and to mold you and to fashion you, understand He's not doing it to hurt you. He's doing it because He's trying to get as beautiful a picture of Jesus out of you as He can. He's trying for your kids to see Jesus in you. He's trying for your neighbors to see Jesus in you. He's trying through you to live out Jesus. And I think sometimes we forget that. I think sometimes we think, well, God's just trying to mess up my life. No. Jesus said it this way, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. These were the last words that Jesus said. Go with me one more place and we're through. Go with me to John, the 20th chapter. Jesus now has died. He rose from the dead. The disciples are all gathered together. They're by themselves and they're scared because, man, this thing ended badly. Jesus died. We don't know where he is. We don't know what's happened. This whole thing has gone berserk. And in the middle of it, Jesus comes walking in the room after the resurrection. Verses 19 through 22. Then the same day and evening was the first day of the week when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side, and were his disciples glad when they saw him. Now, a lot of times we read this, that Jesus walked through the door, and what did normally you hear about this story? Jesus walks through the door, and he sits down, and what else does he do? He eats fish, and we talk about that, but I want you to understand the importance of this story. Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. Then when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive you the Holy Ghost. How important you think it was to Jesus? Even after he rose from the dead, and he's with his disciples. The first time he's come back from the dead, they're all scared. They're all afraid. They're sitting in a room afraid somebody's fixing to break in and arrest them. Jesus, through his resurrected body, walks through the door, sits down, eats right there in front of them. He lets them touch his holes and touch his side. He says, guys, touch me. I'm real. This is real. And the only thing he wants to do, he didn't tell them what hell was like. He didn't tell them what it was like to be in the ground for 3 days. He said, guys, let me tell you something cool. Jesus looks at them and goes, whew. Receive. Every one of you, the Holy Ghost. And if Jesus could be in this room right now, which he is, but in some fleshly form, he would do the same thing to you. Lord, I need your help. Whew. Receive my spirit. Lord, I'm lonely, and God, I don't feel like nobody cares. Whew. Receive my spirit. Whatever your problem or trial or struggle is, the answer would be the same. Jesus died so that you could be saved. So that His Spirit could come and live in you. If you're in this room today, we're on our second part. Next week, I'll give an altar call. Next week, I'll give an altar call. You say, well, I do it right? No. There's still questions I want to make sure you understand. I'm not trying to trick you into something, get you emotional. I'm trying to tell you how important the baptism of the Holy Ghost is in your life. And it's not about whether you talk funny or you go la 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 or da da da. It's not about that. What I'm trying to tell you is God's trying to get the fullness of His power in your life. Because if you don't have the fullness of His power, then you're no more than those disciples hiding out like we do at church a lot of times. We're hiding out because we're afraid of what's on the outside and we're afraid to confront what's out there. But when you get the power of the Holy Ghost, your whole goal is I want to be out there. I want to go out there. I want to touch somebody with what God has touched me with. This isn't denominational. This is just scriptural. It isn't something I have to hide in a corner and talk about. I can talk as many scriptures, preach as many weeks as you want to. The Bible is full of Jesus and the Holy Ghost. The Bible is full of the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible is full of you being full of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to talk about that next week and talking about what it's like, this tongues. What is this? Is it all right if I answer that question for you? What is this tongues thing? What is this? Will you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for today. I feel your presence in here so strong. There are people in this room that I believe even this week, as they've been seeking you, that God, I don't know whether they're going to be at their kitchen and they're just going to receive the baptism. They're not going to understand what's going on, but what's going to happen is they're just praising you and thanking you and loving on you. You're going to come into their life like a mighty wind. God, all through this next month or two, there are going to be some that are going to pull back, and I hate that. Because, God, what they've been taught is to stay in something that they can't feel, that they can control, that they can... But, God, I don't want something I can control. Everything I could control ended up in a mess. I want something where I release my control and let you be the leader and you be my teacher and you be my guide and you be my comforter and you be the one who has a direct connection with heaven. You be the one who guides me into places I wouldn't go myself. Father, I pray that upon every person in here, I breathe upon them that they would receive the Spirit in His fullness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.